Chapter 15. Getting the Wookiee out of Corsac headquarters without drawing too much attention was one thing. Getting him through downtown Coronet to the parking structure was quite another. As they traveled the pedestrian walkway with a giant furry creature on the medlift between them, Kira was certain all eyes were on them. Was that Basilisk staring? That homeless beggar was probably a spy. And those lampposts? Probably filled with hidden cams. If anyone decided to look for them right now, they'd be easy to find. "Just walk casual," Kira told them, mostly for her own benefit. "Eyes straight ahead, as if we've nothing to hide." They were almost to the parking structure when an alarm sounded, piercing the cold air, startling everyone around them. Instinctively, they all froze. "No, no, we have to keep going," Kira urged. "Pretend like nothing is wrong." They kept going. The siren wailed and wailed, loud and close. Too close. It certainly came from Peace and Security headquarters. No doubt the officer's comm had gone through, just as Han feared. And when someone went up to investigate, they found a vestibule full of unconscious Imperials. It would take Corsac and its resident Imperial officers a little time to gather their resources, interview witnesses, figure out who they were looking for. But not much time. The Empire had more resources than Kira could imagine. Resources. They were walking out of Corsac alive, with an Imperial prisoner, no less, thanks to the engineer's resources. Everything was so much easier when you had money, connections, influence. Someday, somehow, Kira was going to have all of that. She would have to do better, though. She was tired, sure, as hungry as she'd ever been, but she shouldn't have overlooked the possibility of the Wookiee inhaling a second dose of gas. And she shouldn't have let that ensign get under her skin. If she'd just left without saying anything, the alarm might not have been going off. Most of all, she should have had a contingency plan for walking in and not finding a map posted. From now on, she'd keep in mind that people didn't always follow regulations. It was a good thing Han was able to think on his feet. Come to think of it, they made a pretty good team. Kira thought everything through, and when they met unexpected obstacles, Han improvised. They entered the dark parking structure and found their speeder. The medlift was not quite level with the speeder, so the three of them had to heave the Wookiee up over the rear spoiler, rolling him into the back seat. They crowded into the front seat, Kira squashed between the two boys. Han guided the speeder out of the structure and onto the thoroughfare. She was glad for an excuse to put the riding goggles back on. They made her feel safer, invisible. It was a deceptive feeling, though, and she knew to be wary of complacency right now. The Wookiee was too big for the back seat. His hairy feet were sticking up over the side of the speeder. Of course they were going to be noticed. All they had to do was get to the rendezvous point the engineer had indicated. According to Saulo, they were headed toward some wealthy citizen's fancy estate at the edge of town, far enough away from the spaceport to not interfere with air traffic. Besides, no one would think twice about a small shuttle landing on one of the major estates. That kind of thing happened every day.
"Don't look now," Han said. "But I think that's a police speeder a few vehicles behind us."
Blast. Kira forced herself not to look, but she and Saulo exchanged alarmed glances.
"Okay, I'm banking into a turn," Han said. "Look casually over your shoulder, as if taking in the sights, and tell me if that's a police speeder."
She did exactly as he asked, craning her head to stare at the buildings around them, sparing only a quick look for the speeders behind them. Her heart thudded. Sure enough, not far behind was a one-man vehicle with long stabilizers for easy maneuverability and a wicked-looking gun mount.
"Definitely a police speeder," Kira said. "It has a gun turret."
Saulo said something about stormtroopers.
"Yeah, at least it's not one of them," Han said. "They're way better trained than Corsac officers."
Kira risked another look behind them. The police speeder was gaining on them.
"I think it's tailing us." Han reacted instantly, taking a sharp turn onto another thoroughfare.
So what do we do? Kira asked.
I don't know. Improvise, I guess. I've outrun Corsac before. I mean, I was on foot in the sewers, but still.
Han, that speeder turned where we did. It's definitely following us.
Su'ulo pointed to a nearby intersection, saying something about home. Or maybe it was house.
We can't, Su'ulo. Not yet, Han said. We have to get out of the center of town, then circle around and head for the outer estates.
That speeder is not gaining on us, Kira pointed out. Why isn't it catching up?
That Corsac officer doesn't want to catch us, Han explained. Their job is to keep us in sight and communicate our location to everyone else. Once enough speeders have been dispatched, they'll surround us. They might even dispatch a few water speeders, come at us from the canals.
Holy moons! Kira had no idea how they were going to get out of this one.
That's why we have to get away from the downtown area. Okay, hold on tight. I'm about to do something stupid.
Holy moons! She and Su'ulo grabbed the roll bar and held on for dear life. They were approaching the seedy entertainment district. Cheap hollow boards promised unspeakable delights, while casting blue and red and purple motes onto their skin, even in the light of day. A portable projector sign was propped up outside a cantina, advertising the concert of some low-rent musician Kira had never heard of.
This is going to work, Han muttered. It's going to work. It's going to work.
You're about to hit that sign, Kira yelled.
I know,
he yelled back. Han hit the left reverse thruster, and their back end swept right, all the way around to the sign. Metal screamed as their rear fender sent the sign flying end over end into the street. Han reversed right and hit the accelerator, powering them back into the straightaway. Everyone behind them swerved to avoid the sign, including the police speeder, which was forced to slow down to keep from crashing.
You did that on purpose, Kira said.
I knew it would work.
His grin was so wide it took up the whole world. Han loved piloting, she realized. This was where he belonged. Han took a quick turn, then another. They skimmed through town, until the entertainment district and the fish markets were mere blips in their wake. Only then did Han steer them toward the neighborhood housing Coronet City's richest, most powerful residents.
You think we lost them?
Kira asked.
Only temporarily. Once the stormtroopers figure out which prisoner we sprung and put it together that we're working with the engineer, we're screwed.
Su'ulo asked Han a question.
Don't even think that right now. If that happens, we're especially screwed.
If what happens?
He's worried the engineer won't be true to her word. That there won't be a shuttle waiting for us after all.
There has to be, Kira protested. We have her Wookiee!
She peered over her shoulder to check on him. He was still out cold, but he had shifted a bit. His right arm and most of his head were smashed into the footwell of the seat. She desperately hoped he was all right. They sped through a neighborhood of tenements, tall buildings made of boxy apartments that were stacked haphazardly like children's blocks. Several barefoot kids played a game with a rope outside of one. Laundry hung from another. This area wasn't too different from the freighter boneyard, Kira mused. People built whatever they could with whatever tools they had and called it home. Soon the tenements seeded to a district dense with small, dingy factories, and finally to a wide, muddy river.
Toll booth ahead, Kira said.
All toll booths are equipped with cams and recognition tech, Han pointed out. Between that and the toll, they do a pretty good job keeping lowlifes like us away from all the fancy rich people who live across the river.
So once we cross, they'll know we're here?
Yep.
Any other ideas?
Nope.
Su'ulo jabbered at them, waving his arms.
You have an idea, Su'ulo? Kira asked.
He has a terrific idea. He says that once we cross, we should go really, really fast.
Kira slumped in her seat. They were definitely going to die. They paused at the toll booth to insert their last credit chip.
The barrier slid away, and they zoomed across the bridge into Coronet City's finest residential district. The densely packed buildings and steaming pipe vents and endless paver that made up the rest of the city were not in evidence here. Instead, they cruised through quiet, tree-lined streets bordering expansive lawns. Kira had never seen so many trees in one place. Maybe they were specially imported. Estate homes were set back from the street, boasting picturesque fountains, walls of glass, and rooftop landing pads. Su'ulo indicated that they should turn left, and Han complied.
Not far now,
Han shouted. A whining sound made Kira's neck tingle. She felt heat on her skin, turned and looked up. A small starship was coming out of the sky, descending on them.
Han, we've got company!
He dared to glance back, then punched the console in frustration.
That's an Imperial patrol craft. There's no way I can outrun it.
Two mounted cannons are pointed at us, Kira said.
Su'ulo yelled something, and Han yelled back.
Good thinking, pal. Okay, hold on.
Han swerved from the thoroughfare and onto one of the lawns, aiming for a stand of trees. Turret fire clamored in their wake, slinging up chunks of sod.
We're almost there,
Han hollered. Something growled, sending shivers up her back, and she turned again. It was the Wookiee, thrashing in his seat. He was waking up. Han swept from side to side, wrenching Kira's neck, but making them a rougher target. Gunfire erupted all around them. A sickening ping, crunch, sounded. The back end of the speeder scooted sideways several meters, nearly sending them into a tailspin. But Han righted them and accelerated toward the trees.
We've been hit,
Kira said, trying to assess the damage. The Wookiee groaned, but Kira breathed relief when she didn't see an injury. The speeder was another matter. The right rear fender was a mess of warped metal. Dark liquid like syrup leaked from an exposed pipe.
I think we're leaking fuel!
They reached the copse of trees, and Han steered the speeder in and out of tree trunks, as if he'd been doing it his whole life, and not just a few days. The blast cannons were quiet. The lull was only temporary, Kira knew. As soon as they were clear of foliage, it would start up all over again. Su'ulo pointed to a structure ahead. The trees parted to reveal a large pool cabana, open on two sides, with a sparkling blue pool beyond. Han aimed right for it. Fire erupted around them again. Han flew them straight into the cabana and out the other side. The ship dropped down, nearly on top of them. Han plunged toward the pool, and they skimmed over the water. The air they displaced kicked up a huge wake, flooding the craft on their tail. The patrol craft hung back to get its bearings, and Han sped for another copse of trees.
Almost there,
he said again. Another estate opened up before them, even vaster than the last, with rolling hills and artificial lake, and a huge, curving ramp that led to a landing pad high on the rooftop. Su'ulo pointed, jabbering excitedly. They had arrived. But there was no shuttle in sight. Something heavy flopped onto Kira's shoulder, making her jump in her seat and making Su'ulo squeal. It was the Wookiee, flailing awake.
Hurry, Han, she said.
I don't see a shuttle, he shouted. Do you see a shuttle? It's supposed to meet us on that landing pad.
Just the patrol craft already catching up,
Kira said.
Should I head up there?
Han asked.
Even though we don't see the shuttle?
Kira had no idea what to do. Police speeders and fake uniforms and starships and fancy estates were all so outside her range of experience. Maybe Han could give her just a little more time with his fancy piloting, and she could come up with a plan and... Oh, screw it.
Han, I've got nothing. What do your instincts say?
He grinned, that cocky, smug grin she was maybe starting to like a little, and said,
We should go for it. I'm feeling lucky.
And he aimed for the curving ramp that would take them to the top of the mansion. The patrol craft was nearly on them again. Han sped around and gained the top. The view from up here was beautiful, In any other circumstance, Kira would have stopped to drink it in. Instead, she leaped from the speeder, yelling, "Help me with this giant hairy thing!" Han and Saulo jumped out and grabbed for the Wookiee, who flailed back at them.
"Careful! He's waking up!"
Han yelled. The patrol craft swooped toward them, but behind, barely a mote on the horizon, was another craft.
"I think I see the shuttle," Kira said.
They managed to get a grip on the Wookiee and drag him to the ground.
"Over here," she ordered. "Behind the speeder. We'll take cover until the shuttle gets here."
Which had better be soon. It would be no trouble at all for the patrol craft to readjust its position and come up behind them. Something sharp assaulted her nose. Chemical fumes all around them, rising up from the growing puddle caused by the speeder's fuel leak. Kira realized she had made a terrible mistake.
"Back!" she screamed. "Get back! Away from the speeder! It might blow!"
They hustled backward, the Wookiee's heels dragging on the ground. Kira had no idea what kind of ordnance the patrol craft had been firing at them, but laser blasts would ignite that fuel easily. They made it all the way to the edge of the landing pad. Now they had no cover, and there was nowhere to go. The patrol craft hovered before them. A ramp dropped and stormtroopers poured out, blasters in hand. Saulo prayed, harder and faster than Kira had heard yet. The second craft, which had to be the engineer's shuttle, zoomed out of the sky, swooping over the patrol ship, spinning 180 degrees to show them its rear, and touching down a hair's breadth from their huddled forms. Blaster fire thundered, but the shuttle took it all, protecting the three of them and their drugged Wookiee. The shuttle had a forward deflector shield, Kira realized. A really good deflector shield. A ramp dropped down, and a man with cropped black hair and narrow black eyes beckoned.
"Hurry!"
he said. He didn't need to say it twice. The three of them lifted the Wookiee and stumbled up the ramp into a narrow cargo area. The ramp closed behind them. The black-eyed man helped them lower the Wookiee into one of the jump seats and strap him in.
"Buckle up!"
he ordered.
"We're leaving hot!"
Kira had no idea what leaving hot meant, but she buckled up as fast as her fingers would allow. The shuttle was small, built for only 8 passengers, fewer if one of those passengers was a Wookiee. Ahead of them was a cockpit with 2 pilot seats, facing a large viewing window. Stormtroopers continued to fire at them. The patrol craft still hovered above the landing pad, and its cannon turrets were rotating to give the shuttle a direct hit. Their bright green speeder reflected sunlight and laser bolts as it lay bleeding on the landing pad. Kira's chest twinged with something unfamiliar. It was as if she liked that speeder, as if she was sad to leave it behind. A stray blast hit the speeder, tipping it violently. Seconds later, it erupted into a massive fireball, filling the viewing window with roiling flames. Saulo let out a strange keening sound that made the hair on Kira's arm stand straight up. His snout trembled for a moment. Then he turned his head to the side, refusing to look at the smoking scrap heap that was his brother's speeder. Then the shuttle's thrusters kicked in, so hard and fast that they overcame the acceleration compensators, and Kira's rear pressed tight into her seat, the belt digging at her waist. The estates fell away beneath them, growing smaller and smaller. The world widened to reveal all of Coronet City, with its industrial islands and muddy waterways, all cozied up to a vast ocean. Corellia itself became an immeasurable curved horizon, and then a vast bluish orb clothed in rusty clouds, and finally, a distant mote of white in an expanse of empty blackness.